I'm Minister Linda here today to talk about one of the basic life principles called responsibility. We all have responsibilities in this life. Life here on earth is just a dress rehearsal for what is to come in heaven. God reads every motive and intent of our heart. We must look afar, beyond tomorrow. I want to share with you a few lines from a song called Something Beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. I hope today that you can say that you are a newborn Christian and that you have had something beautiful made of your life. He gave his life a living sacrifice. He paid a debt of love he did not owe, and we owe a debt of love that we will never be able to repay. He's God on the mountain, and he's God in the valley. He's God wherever you are. Listen now to Linda Randall sing God on the Mountain.
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times, when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where you'll faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right.
Our God is still our God. He's a God amidst this pandemic. He's a God amidst all the insurrection and rebellion that's going on. It's our responsibility to give our all over to our Lord and Savior and to receive the gift of discernment. Charles Stanley says, "Who couldn't use a little discernment?" We desperately need the Lord's help to determine truth and reality in a world filled with confusing gray areas and evil deceptions. John the Baptist was a man of tremendous discernment. This rough and rugged preacher came thundering onto the scene of staid Orthodox Judaism, and he brought a message to the entire Jewish nation. John's job was to prepare the way for the Messiah's arrival. What he had to say was simply, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3:2. As the multitudes flocked to hear this unique prophet and repent of their sins, John discerned that some of them were frauds. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had come to check him out, not to repent. They were hiding reality behind a religious exterior. What's going on today? A discerning spirit is one that is in tune with the Spirit of God. As John lived in submission to the Lord, he gained insight beyond anything that could have originated from his own mind. He saw the situation from God's perspective and delivered a strong rebuke to that brood of vipers. Although we may never be as forthright as John, there will be times when a discerning spirit will lead to confrontation. The Father wants his children to develop spiritual discernment in order to guard against deception. We must know how to recognize invalid philosophies as well as false doctrines that sneak into the church. What's more, divine insight can also protect us in our relationships and even helps us to see the truth about ourselves. Discernment is a gift of God. We have the responsibility to submit and commit our lives into the one and only Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Then he will give you that gift of discernment. We are to separate ourselves from evil associations, lest we become what we reject. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." In Micah 6:8, God says that he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Responsibility requires humble adoration and submission. It requires a good conscience that operates in spirit and in truth, and sieves everything through the word, the truth, the standards by which we must live. We must put all past besetting sins behind us. We must cast down all vain imaginations. We must come into a state of true repentance with a penitent state of heart, wholeheartedly loving God and his people, and we are saved only by faith through grace. We must humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord. We must admit that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. We must submit, which is surrendering our all unto him. We must commit ourselves to him, our life as a living sacrifice. Then he will emit unto us his love, life, and light that we remit unto the world. The Holy Spirit is the light that illuminates and radiates light in this darkness of this world. Humbling yourself before God means coming before Jesus in awe and reverence, despite what people might think of you. Being willing to say, "I was wrong," admitting that we have committed sin unto the Almighty God. We must be open to receive his word. We must position ourselves in Christ. We must come back to the basis, beginning at ground zero. Everything begins with humility. That pattern of life was set before us when the babe was born in the manger, a lowly manger. The commandment that goes along with responsibility is that we are to be reconciled. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." 1 Corinthians 12:25-27 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Acts 24:16 says, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I want to repeat that one. Can you say, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men? You can see all of the offenses that are happening right now in this world toward God and toward men. Romans 12:17-18 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Proverbs 21:14 says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. It is our responsibility to keep Christ in our conscious remembrance at all times. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord of your peace. Judges 6:23-24. He is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 and Isaiah 9:6. The questions you need to ask yourself, are you responsible or are you unreliable? Have you taken full responsibility for your offenses? Is there anyone that you've offended and have not asked to forgive you? Have you displayed pride in any way to the one whom you offended? How have you served those whom you have offended? What gifts can you give to those you have offended? Have you repented of your offense? After asking for forgiveness, have you received release from the one that you offended? Do you examine your heart before worship? Remember what he says, that we must be reconciled to him before we can come to him. Remember that if you have not the love of the brethren in your heart, you have not the love of God. You must learn to speak positive affirmations to yourself daily. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. That means you must seek the word of God and his righteousness. You must implant, engraft, activate, and applicate the word of God in your heart. And then the love generates the power to carry you through. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He came to earth to carry your burdens. So cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Would you be willing to lay your life down for your friend? I want to read 1 John 4:4-1 John 4:11. Kind of like Dr. John Paul there. I just changed my mind just a little bit. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Responsibility is not just doing what I said I would do, but doing what I know I should do. Proverbs 25:19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Place your confidence in God, not in man. Responsibility is doing what is expected and required. Profitability is doing what is extra and not anticipating. Remember I told you that to write the word faith and put an X through it and put doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety on each corner of the X? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety cancels our faith. Worry, remember, doubt, fear, and worry. Worry comes from assuming responsibilities that God never intended for us to have. So when we sit around and worry and doubt, we're coming into a state of unbelief. So beware, we have a duty not to doubt, fear, worry, or come into contact with the enemy, because this creates a battlefield in our mind. We have duties that are our responsibility. We are paying on a debt of love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. So we're paying on a debt of love. So owe no man anything but to love him. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. We are to support faithful ministers. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Romans 15:27. This is telling us that we must be watchmen on the wall, and we must support the faithful ministers. That's our duty. And if for some reason that they step out of line, it's our responsibility to do correction and reproof through the love of God. We must protect weak believers. When they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Romans 15:1. We must step in the place of the weak believers and be a crutch unto them with the word of God that will support them. We must make marriage decisions. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. 1 Corinthians 7:36. We must give love in marriage. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 5:28. We must be thankful for believers. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We must suffer for the believers. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. We must be in submission. This is one of our responsibilities. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. 1 Corinthians 11:10. We must care for children. The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. 2 Corinthians 12:14. We must be found walking in Christ's love. He that saith he abideth in him ought him also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Once again, that's found in 1 John 4:11. We must provide hospitality, found in 3 John 5-8. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. John 17:17. The Lord teaches us truth. If you've learned anything from the Word of God, you have truth to share with others. You don't have to be a trained teacher. Simply share with someone else what the Lord has taught you. Although you may feel inadequate, remember that you have a teacher living within you, the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal divine truth if you'll open the Bible with a humble, receptive spirit. Psalm 23:5 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup of overflows." Today, I'd like for you to make some commitments about overflowing. Today, I will overflow with grace because God has lavished his grace on me. I will overflow with forgiveness because he has forgiven me. I will overflow with mercy because he is rich in mercy towards me. I will overflow with praise, for he is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. I will overflow with blessing because God has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because God has called and chosen me. Can you say today that you will overflow with faithfulness as you give yourself fully to the work of the Lord? We're coming to the end of our program. I want you to stay tuned after the news break in this program to hear Pastor Bobby Key's message. Pastor Bobby Key can also be heard at 7 a.m. every Sunday, and also the Bobby Anita Key Gospel Hour from 2 to 3 p.m. preceding our program every Sunday. Love God's way. Listen now to Nita Key sing Unfinished Task.
My brother, if I